Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start there and see what the Lord does. 2 Kings chapter 4. Beginning of verse 1, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the presence of God is here to speak to us, to speak to our physical, emotional, mental infirmities, to heal us, to revive us, to restore us, to direct us, to guide us, to lead us, and to equip us in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, the devil has just really given me a hard time. But then you read the Bible and it says that when Jesus died on the cross, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The Old Testament says that the scriptures say that the devil is like a roaring lion, but when Jesus died on the cross, he pulled his teeth. The devil has no power over us. The only power he has is fear and intimidation and lies. That's the only power he has. And if we believe the lies, if we fall into fear, then he's got us, but that's all he can do. Aren't you glad that's all he can do? 2 Kings chapter 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. Now, that's not a period there, but I like stopping there, because that in itself is pretty bad news, isn't it? She was the wife of the sons of the prophets. In other words, her husband was in ministry. You know, when you're in ministry, you expect the pastor or whoever to just keep going. And when you have a death in the family, it shocks you no matter who they are, much less when they're in a leadership position. And particularly in a world where the men pretty much were taking care of everything in those days. Women were left dumbfounded. They were left shocked, not knowing what to do. And so she goes to Elisha, the man of God, and says, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slave. Now, they had what they called the debtor's jail back then. And they would, if you couldn't pay a debt you owed, they would repossess your kids. Today, they just repossess your car. When my kids were teenagers, I might have let them. You don't pay, we'll repossess your kids. Come get them. You'll bring them back. That's right. But obviously, this is not what the woman wanted. She didn't want her two sons to be taken as slaves. So she did not go to the banker. She did not go to the lawyer. She went to the man of God. When you got a problem, go to God. You don't have to go to a man of God, but sometimes God has men for you to go to. And they can pray with you. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We are to do that. And we should do that. And we have problems. It is pride that often keeps us from saying, I need your prayers. But that's what we're to do. And she went to the man of God. So the man of God, verse 2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? I'm always glad that God asked me what I have instead of what I don't have. You know, if I had what I need, I wouldn't be needing God. But I don't have what I need. Sometimes I need faith when I don't have faith. Sometimes I need healing. Sometimes I need financial blessings or provision. And I go to God because he has a storehouse. I said God has a storehouse. The wealth of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. The Lord has a storehouse in heaven. You know, when R.W. Shambach was getting up in years before he died, the doctor diagnosed him with congestive heart failure. And he said, well, Brother Shambach, this is Dr. Cherry. He used to have TV program, The Doctor and the Word. He was a Christian. And he said, well, you can preach, but you have to do it sitting down. Shambaugh said, can you imagine me sitting down preaching? And I love what he said. He said, well, if the Lord is through with me, he can take me home. But if he's not through with me, he's got a whole shelf of hearts in heaven. That's the storehouse I'm talking about. God's got a whole shelf of hearts, kidneys, livers, and he's got one just your size. The devil is a liar. I mean, he's a liar. As he's an idiot. And so, what do you have in your house? God doesn't ask you what you don't have. He asks what you have. See, the problem is people won't take what they have to do what God wants them to do. They wait around for God to do it all. When Jesus was called and told that Lazarus, whom you love, is sick, he waited around a little while. God doesn't get in a hurry. I was ministering to someone through Facebook, through a private message today. I said, Jesus never got in a hurry. The only time he ever got in a hurry is when he set his face steadfast to go to Jerusalem, and that was to the cross for me and you. Any other time, he moved when God moved him, and not until then. And he waited until a Lazarus was dead. You see, sometimes you think it's too late, but God's never too late. Amen. When the death certificate is signed, it's not too late for God. I don't think you guys heard me. I said, when the death certificate's signed, it's not too late for God. When your faith is dead, it's too late. That's the only thing that's too late when it's dead. But even God can resurrect your faith. Amen. He can. So when he went to the tomb, he could have spoken, demolished that boulder with one word. He could have blew it and it would have rolled away. But instead he said to him, roll away the stone. And they had to do their part. And when they rolled away the stone, he did what they could not do. Aren't you glad that God asks you to do what you can do so he can do what you can't do? Woo! Hallelujah! I know what I can't do. Why do we try to do what we can't do? Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about things. You can't change the color of your hair. Some of you women with Miss Clairol can do it for a little while. But it's going to go right back. Right? If you ask your father for bread, is he going to give you a stone? If you ask him for meat, will he give you a serpent? Your father knows what you need before you even ask. Aren't you glad we serve a good God? And so he's going to do for you what you cannot do if you will do what he asks you to. And so he asks her, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Ooh. That's when you get them Holy Ghost goosebumps. Because when you give to God what you got, he can do mighty things. This is the same anointing that Jesus felt when Philip said, there's nobody here but a snotty-nosed kid with a little bread and a couple of fish. It's that same anointing that Jesus felt back then. Whoa! I feel a miracle coming on. What do you got? I got a little bit of fish and some bread. Whoa! God's getting ready to perform a miracle. What do you got? I just got a jar of oil. Whoa! God's getting ready to perform a miracle. What do you got? What has God given you? What has God put in you? Let God perform a miracle through it. Amen. Let him do it. And so he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Now, faith is always tested. Faith is a verb. Verb is a word that shows action. Peter said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith is not faith until you can demonstrate it with action. And so if she said, well, I came to you and you're the man of God, why do I got to go borrow a bunch of vessels? Let your kids go to jail then. Let them go be slaves. You have a responsibility in your faith to do what God it wants you to do, whether it's roll away a stone or borrow some empty jars. Amen? That's your responsibility. Sometimes our responsibility is nothing more than getting up in time to read your Bible. Amen. Sometimes your responsibility is nothing more than to pray, to show up at a prayer meeting, or to witness to someone, or to intercede for someone, or whatever the case may be. God is looking for people to do their part. And so he says, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors. Empty vessels do not gather just a few. Now, God can't fill full vessels. You wonder why people don't get saved. They're so full of themselves, they're not empty. That's true. You think I'm joking? That's it. They know everything. They've got it all figured out. They don't need your advice. They don't need your God. They don't need your Bible. They are a self-made man. Have you ever heard that term? Or woman. They know it all, and they don't want any advice, and they can't be told anything. They're full of themselves. But if you pray, see, this is how you pray for those kind of people. God, empty them of themselves. You know how God empties people of themselves? He puts them in tight places. Amen. Fearful places. Places that they don't want to be in. And then all their knowledge, all their intellect, all their experience, all their money, all their contacts can't help them. And so then they turn to God. Our responsibility is live the life so that they will come to us as the mediator and we can minister to them. Empty vessels. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, first thing he said is, when you come in, shut the door behind you. We got to shut out the world. We got to shut out unbelief. Amen. I mean, you may have it in your family, some of your kids, some of your grandkids, some of your sisters or brothers. They always want to give you advice, and it's seldom scriptural. Amen. Shut it out. Shut it out. I know I've told the story several times, so I'll give you the condensed version. When Nathan was a baby, I bought an Atari 2600 with the last of our money, and Deborah went to Nebraska, and there was this woman at the base commander's office where I was working in her woolite sweater that leaned over my desk and said, "You better get an attorney or you will never see your child again." Now that's what I'm talking about, shutting out the world. No, God said she'll come back. And then they do this... Okay, don't say I didn't tell you, right? I don't need the world's advice. I don't care how many degrees someone has after their name. I will listen to and follow the Word of God. It's never failed me yet. Amen? He's never failed me. So we shut the door. We shut out the world. We shut out doubt, fear, unbelief. We shut out the gainsayers. Remember when Jesus raised the was it the little girl, I think, or was it the boy? I can't remember. He raised a couple of them. He had to shut those people out. Remember that? Get out of here, right? Little girl, yes. Shut them out. Amen? And they laughed him to scorn. So if they laugh you to scorn, that's okay. You're in good company. You're with the King. They laughed him to scorn. Hallelujah. So you shut the door behind you. And then pour it into all the vessels. Pour it. Pour it. On the last day, the great day of the feast, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we read in St. John where Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scriptures say, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." This he spoke of the Spirit, which was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit is the oil. And he said, pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. You know, Proverbs says, he that watereth others will himself be refreshed. See, when you begin to pour in the Holy Spirit in the life of others, when you begin to pray for people, and you begin to witness to people, and you begin to encourage other Christians, and you begin to pray for them, you begin to say, God will see you through. It's going to be all right. Trust in the Lord. You'll make it. And you begin to minister to them, you start feeling something inside. It's because the oil of the Spirit is flowing in and through you. And as you continue to pour into those empty vessels, God begins to open the spigots of heaven. Amen. I love the feeling of ministering, preaching. I tell you what, I can be as down as I can be. Well, that's what Kenneth Hagin said, preach yourself happy, right? And when you start getting that oil flowing, glory to God, feels good. Amen. Don't wait for the preacher to cheer you up. Preach yourself happy. Preach yourself happy. I don't do this very often because Carolyn would quite frankly think I was crazy probably, although I don't really care. But used to, when I would be driving to work by myself, I would do the ABCs. And that's where if I was depressed or discouraged or having a spiritual battle, I would just start going through the alphabet. A, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me, right? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Years I spent in vanity and strife. At Calvary, right? Doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then you start going, E, what in the world's E? You know, oh well, skip it, go to F, right? Even so, that's right. And so, you know what? I promise you, I don't care how depressed you are, if there's any part of Jesus in you, you will not get to Z before your seat is higher than the chair. Amen. You will feel the presence of God. Pray, sing the ABCs. Amen. That's right. And so you start pouring the oil. You start pouring it, and you keep pouring it, and you keep pouring it. Because you know what? It doesn't end as long as you're pouring it. It never ends as long as you're pouring it. Would to God that we could just have church without getting sleepy and tired and hungry 24 hours a day. Because as we come together in the name of Jesus and the oil starts flowing, don't you feel better when you after church? And how many of you ever felt so tired you debated on going and then were glad you went? Amen? It's the oil. It's not the preacher. It's not the song leader. It's the oil, amen. It's the oil, it's the oil, it's the oil, it's the oil. Hallelujah. Give me some of that oil. Give me some of that oil. One day, you know, I've got the Nissan, not the Gremlin. And it's got the, you know, all of the high-tech music sound system. Connects to your phone, plays music from your phone through the Bluetooth. Has a display, and I'd been listening to Give Me Oil. And I picked up Floyd one day, and he saw across the front of the car there on the dash, it said, Give Me Oil. He said, I think your car's low on oil. I said, no, it's just a song, but thanks anyway, Floyd. Wouldn't it be great if we were smart enough, like that car, when we need it, to say, Give me oil, Lord. Give me some oil. Hallelujah. Pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. And so she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought in the vessels to her, and she poured it out. What did she do? She poured it out. What did she do? She poured it out. Did she think about it? Did she say, you know, I ought to think about what that preacher said. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I don't feel like it right now. My lumbago's acting up. She did what the man of God said. She poured it out. She poured it out. I don't care how depressed you are. You start pouring, God will do a miracle in your life. Amen? Start pouring it. You know, one thing as a pastor, it gets so discouraging, is you can do everything but pour the oil for somebody else. You can tell them, you can advise them, you can encourage them, but you cannot pour the oil for somebody else. They've got to pour their own oil. Amen. Hallelujah. And she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her, son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. And so the oil ceased. This oil won't stop if you keep pouring it. Amen. We want to see a revival. Let's start getting everybody soaking wet in oil. Let's start pouring oil out. Let's start pouring it on our neighbors. Start pouring it on our bankers. Start pouring it at the tellers. And when we go in to cash our check, let's start pouring the oil and see what God can do. God could turn Tahlequah upside down for Jesus. With what? These 15 people who are hungry enough to start pouring oil all over Tahlequah? Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Let's do it. Let's do it. I remember an R.W. Shambach story. He said this woman wanted some of her church friends to go see him in this next city where he was holding a tent revival. And she decided she was going to charter a bus for all her women friends that go to her church, about 20 ladies. And they were going to go in style in this chartered bus to this next city to the revival. So she began to save her money. I don't remember the amount of money she needed. We'll say $400. It was a long time ago. She had a bag of money. She took it into the banker and said, I need $400 to charter this bus. Count it for me. She had some quarters and dimes in there, mostly bills. He counted it. Lady, you only got $222. She said, count it again. There it is again. Can you feel it? Count it again. He said, I just told you got $222. She said, count it again. He counted again. You got $245. I don't know how I did that. Here's a banker. Makes his living counting money. She said, count it again. Lady, I just counted it three times for you. Now, count it again. $285. She said, count it again. This went on for a half an hour, and every time it was more money until it finally got to the amount she needed. And she said, put it back in the bag. I got what I needed. Amen. That's pouring the oil, isn't it? That's pouring the oil. You know, there's nothing God can't do if I can get past the lies of the devil and doubt and fear and unbelief. Jesus done and crucified him, killed him, smacked his head, crushed it on the cross. He thought he was crucifying Jesus. Jesus was crucifying him. I read the back of the book. He won at Calvary, and he's still winning today. He's winning because men and women of God are believing the word of God and acting on it, pouring the oil. So the oil ceased. And then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. How do I live? Living on the promises of God. Living on the surety of God's word. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. That was my introduction. Now flip over to Acts. Hallelujah. Oh, went too far. Go to the last chapter of Acts. I think it's 28. You guys weren't wanting to go to bed tonight, were you? 27. All right, we got it. This is it. 27. Let's look at 27 here. I said 28, but we might read two chapters. I don't know. We'll see here. 27. This is Paul's trip to Rome as he sails, and he told them, you know, you ought not to go. He heard from the Lord that the ship would come into ruins, but these are experienced sailors, and they know more than this radical Jew, right? And so let's jump down to 27:8. Passing it with difficulty, we came to the place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lasea. Now, when much time had been spent, the sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. If the world would just listen to us, we could straighten this whole mess out in about 4 days. And because the harbor was not suitable for winter, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix by harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly. See, sometimes that's the way the devil gets us. It's when things are quiet, you got to watch him because he's a sneaky snake. It's when that south wind blows and you think everything's okay, then he will blindside you. That's why the Bible says to be diligent. Amen. For your adversary is as a lion seeking whom he may devour, a roaring lion. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, pulling out of the sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidean, and when the ship was caught, they could not head into the wind. We let her drive. That means they just let go and let the wind carry the ship. Now, we're talking about some experienced sailors, and this must have been some storm, huh? You know, it doesn't matter how much experience you have. You can have storms in your life, big ones. And God forbid, we don't take those for granted. We know. I mean, you know, they can make you cry. They can make you fearful. They can hurt you. You can feel like there's no hope. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis sand, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceeding tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. That's when it starts getting pretty serious, right? When you're throwing food overboard because you're more worried about drowning than eating. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Look at your neighbor and say, all hope was gone. That's when God's getting ready to work, when all hope is gone. Because your hope is not in God. See, when all hope is gone, it means you're hoping for some experience. We're hoping the weather will let up. We're hoping that the sailors can get the ship into harbor. We're hoping that the waves will slow down. But when all hope is gone, all you've got is God. It's just like that woman in 2 Kings 4. No hope. Only hope is God. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Don't you love that? I told you so. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. How does he know that? He's a man of God. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God has angels surrounding us? I got three angels that always are behind me. Goodness and mercy. You say, well, that's only two. Oh, no, there's one more. Surely, goodness and mercy. I think the third one's surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, we'll just call them goodness and mercy. I'm being silly. Aren't you glad goodness and mercy are following you? I don't know what your angels are, but that's the ones I call my angels. Goodness and mercy. And they follow me wherever I go. Whatever I do. Goodness and mercy. They're following you too. That's your angels. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. When the devil says, oh, this isn't good, say, yeah, but goodness is following me. Oh, you did it again. You told God you never. Yeah, but mercy is following me. What goodness can't fix, mercy always fixes. Hallelujah! This night the angel stood by me, whose I am and who I serve. That's the mighty Paul speaking. Saying, do not be afraid. Fear not. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Devil's a liar. Fear not. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Isn't that something? The only reason those guys didn't drown is because the man of God was on board. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody was saying, did you feel the earthquake? I said, no, I slept through it just like Jesus did in the boat. And I did. I would have kind of liked to felt it, but I'm glad I didn't feel it, because I want to live my life like Jesus lived, and I want to sleep through every disaster that the devil throws at me. I don't care how big the waves are. I don't care how big the rumbling is. I don't care how bad the ground shakes. God, give me the Jesus kind of sleeping in the boat faith, where I'm not moved by circumstances. Amen. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. There's my text. Told you, I'm just now getting to my text. He said, therefore, when you see wherefore, therefore, ask what it's there for. It's there because this whole chapter of 27 leading up to verse 25 is to set the stage for your life. Because you're going to have storms in your life. You're going to have disasters in your life. You're going to have situations that are fearful, very fearful. And Paul said that we are to take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Now, I don't need an angel to show up and tell me I have the bedrock of God's word. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Did God say, I am the Lord, I change not? That's right. What he said yesterday, he will do today. He doesn't change. This same Jesus that opened blind eyes, that opened deaf ears, that healed the lame, that opened the tongue of people who could not talk, this same Jesus is still alive. And he is on the throne. He has not vacated his throne. He is on the throne. He's the healer. The healer's in the house. Amen. I said the healer's in the house. And so I believe God. Say that with me. I believe God. That it will be. Say it with me. That it will be as he told me. As he told me. Hallelujah. Now the problem is, sometimes we forget what he said. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes the circumstances are in my face and I'm not thinking about what he said. Why, we're admonished to stay in the word. Amen. What did he say? He said a lot of stuff, didn't he? I mean, we could stay here all night quoting the word. We know the word. We have a responsibility to memorize it, to study it, to meditate on it. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Last night in prayer, that's what the Lord reminded me of. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? That means looking at the storm, looking at the people about to repossess your kids, and being fearful. Or believing God. Walking by faith. How do you walk by faith and not by sight? You have to know the Word of God. Otherwise, you have faith in some nebulous goo. You have faith in Lady Luck. You got to knock on the wood three times, and that's your faith. So your faith has to be have rooted in an object, and ours is the Word of God. That's what Christians do. Our faith is in the Word of God. And that's what Paul said. I believe God that he will do just as he said. So that's how you walk by faith and not by sight. You don't just walk by faith and say, well, I have faith. What do you have faith in? Well, I have faith in God. Well, the demons believe and tremble. What do you have faith in? I have faith in God's word, and specifically what he said. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. And so I have to be a man, or we have to be men and women of the word. We have to know the word. We have to meditate on the word. And when circumstances arise, we have to quote the word. Amen. The word is nigh, even on our mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That's what Paul said. the word is nigh, even in our mouth, the word of faith which we preach. We preach faith. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach the overcoming power of God in our lives. That's what we preach, because God is able to do it. Amen. Now, the story doesn't end there. We're going to skip a little bit, and I'm going to close. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here all night. They finally make land. They escape on boards. The ship breaks up, just like Paul said, chapter 28. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. And now this is one of those south wind things again. Whew, we made it. Everything's okay. No. The devil will always come back. But if you hold your faith, he will leave. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it says, and Satan left him for a while. Right? The devil's never going to leave you permanently. You're not going to just one day win the battle and he's, oh, well, you're too tough for me. I'm not going to mess with you for the rest of your life. That is never going to happen. Amen? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. So you resist him, you quote the word, he flees, and then he comes back. Usually when you least expect it. So they've survived the storm. Just like the angel told Paul, just like Paul told them, they survived the storm. The natives are showing them kindness. It's cold, it's raining. But when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Just when you think you've got it all figured out. You know, sometimes it happens because God is doing revival in church. You get a Holy Ghost fire going and the devil comes out every time. You know, seriously. But that's all right. We know what to do. We've read chapter 28, haven't we? So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Don't base your theology on circumstance. Base it on the Word of God. If you base it on circumstance, Buddha or Muhammad will appear to you as an angel of light and tell you you've been following the wrong man. And you go, oh, the devil's a liar. Don't base your religion on circumstance. Base it on God's word. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. He shook it off and made the devil take it back. He shook it off and made the devil take it back. That's what we do. Shake it off and make the devil take it back. When the devil comes in, the only purpose of his attack is to bring fear, doubt, and unbelief. And when that comes, we have a responsibility. Shake it off and make the devil take it back. Whether it's a sickness, shake it off and make the devil take it back. You know, before I came to church tonight, I wasn't feeling well. Even now, for the last 2 weeks, if I exert myself, I break out in a sweat. But that's okay, because that's called shaking it off and making the devil take it back. Amen? I won't tell you anything that I won't do myself. Now, my wife and daughter said, well, why don't you just not go in? I said, I'm the man of God. What are you talking about? I'm going to church. I'm shaking it off and making the devil take it back. Amen? I'm shaking it off. God, give us faith to shake it off and make the devil take it back. How many of you guys are ready to shake it off tonight? How many of you guys got some things on you right now that the devil has snapped, came out of the fire and has clamped on your wrist, or on your mind, or on your back, or on your heart, and this is the night you're going to shake him in the fire. Amen? Nola, come on up. Hallelujah. We're not done yet. We're not done till every demon this side of hell is shaken off in the fire before we go home tonight. This is my night of a miracle. This is my night for a miracle. What the devil started to do in my life, God is getting ready to change. God is getting ready to change it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand. Nola, get some blood song on going. I don't care. Some blood song. Any blood song. All right, come on, stand with me here. The Blood Bought Church. There you go. Is that the one you're talking about? All right, there we go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw some hands. The devil has latched onto you. Just make a line up here. We're going to pray. Come on, don't be timid. Don't be afraid. You're among friends. God has got this thing. God has got this thing. God, I said God has got this thing. Scoot over there by your wife, brother. Let's make a line so those other people can. Come on up, folks. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, back in the old days, let that young lady in here. Back in the old days, they used to have what they called the anxious bench, where people would sit, and they would have to wait until a man of God was ready to pray for them. I'm not going to make you do that. I was just scaring you. But I do want to wait just a little bit and let Nola minister this song, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to pray and asking the Lord to give you the shake it off kind of faith. Because you could go through the motions and do this and we could all go home, amen. But I can't do it for you. You've got to have your faith to the level where you have the shake it off in the fire kind of faith, so that when you leave, it ain't on you no more. That's our goal, right? I didn't come here to play church. I came here to be changed by the power of God, amen. And I'm not leaving the way I came, and you're not leaving the way you came. We're going to shake it off and make the devil take it back. Amen. Go ahead, Nola.
They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for joy. They will cry aloud and be free.
Yes.
They will glorify the name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's the blood bought the church, the redeemed.
Yes, we are.
Oh, pick up your heart, oh Zion.
Oh, increase our faith.
Let the earth bring forth with its praise.
Yes, yes, yes.
All the children rejoice from the islands of the sea. Well, it's the blood bought the church, the redeemed.
Say it.
Well, we are in that army of the Lord. We've been bought with the blood. And we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise and a two-edged sword, every stronghold upon it shall fall beneath
fall.
Every presser shall captive be free.
Yes.
For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been bought with the blood. Going forth, and there is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise and a two-edged sword, let the earth be silent, all the wind cease to blow. Every created being, hold your wings. There's a new song being sung with a new melody. Oh, it's the blood of the church, the redeemed. And
hallelujah. Well, you want to keep strumming, but I want to pray. All right. Boy, she can stop. What power. I know. Hallelujah. All right, here's the deal. I'm going to start with Lloyd. I'm going to pray for him. And then everybody gets prayed for. You need to go, and you need to go behind the people that are in this line and start a line of praying for them. Remember, you're going to pour the oil from you, and as you're pouring the oil from you, God is going to do a work in your life as well. Amen. So I'm going to go in front, Lord. You're going to go behind, and everybody on down the line. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, right now that, Lord, is shaking it off and making the devil take it back. There's no weapon formed against him that can prosper. He's the man of God. You hear it, devil? And he has the power of God by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So today, tonight, by faith, he's shaking it off and making the devil take it back.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Bobby tonight.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. to the pulling down of strongholds. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Bobby is shaking it off tonight. He is shaking it off tonight. The oil is flowing. Hallelujah. The oil is flowing. He's shaking it off and making the devil take it back. Glory to God. Glory to God. We receive it right now by faith in Jesus' name. And Lord, Father, I thank you for Nicole tonight. Lord, she's shaking it off tonight. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. The oil is flowing. I said the oil of God's anointing is flowing. It's just like the empty vessels. It's just like the boy with two fish and a little bread. A miracle is about to happen tonight. By faith, Lord, we shake it off. By faith, we see the oil flow. By faith, we shut ourselves in alone with God and watch the miracle happen. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what circumstances say. We are believers tonight, and we believe the word of God. This night, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, stood by me, and I believe the report of the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Glenda tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
The devil has had a stronghold on this woman long enough.
Hallelujah.
We command you, Lucifer, Satan, loose your hold from this woman right now. We command you to loose your hold from her. God, help this woman to begin to put the trumpet to her mouth, to begin to shake it off, to begin to pour the oil herself, to begin to proclaim the word of God, to speak life over death, to speak truth over lies, to speak peace over turmoil. Shake, Lord, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off and make the devil take it back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Victory. Victory. Glory
hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. No more turmoil.
Amen.
No more anxiety. No more anxiousness. The peace of God. Peace like a river and righteousness like the waves of the sea. No more, devil. You hear it? No more.
Hallelujah.
No more. Thank no Jesus. More. No more. We shake it off tonight and make the devil take it back. Rhonda is pouring
take
the oil
take
of the Holy Spirit.
Take it all back.
She is pouring that oil tonight. The oil is flowing. And as she pours oil into co-workers at Walmart, as she pours the oil to other people around her, that oil is going to continue to flow. It's going to flow, and God is going to perform a miracle in her life. Oh, we receive it right now by faith. We receive it by faith tonight in Jesus' name as she shakes it off and makes the devil take it back. Shake! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sandarabakohotaraki. Glory to God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Viola is shaking it off and making the devil take it back. This is the heritage of the children of God. Just as her father and just as her mother, so is she, devil. And she will run this race, and she will finish it, and she will run you out of her life and the life of her children by faith as she shakes it off and makes the devil take it back in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Every
glory to God.
Every bondage.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, Karen has stood in for her mother long enough. It's time God performed a miracle. We are believing it tonight.
Freedom,
she is standing in for her mother. This is
hallelujah.
Not Karen. This is her mother here tonight.
Hallelujah.
You hear that,
thank
devil?
Jesus, praise your
and her
name.
Mother is shaking it off.
Amen.
And making the devil
hallelujah.
Take it back.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank
we
you,
will
Lord.
Look
praise
for the report.
The Lord.
We will be anxious to hear the report of what God has done tonight. As her mother, as Nancy, has shaken it off and may the devil take it back.
Thank you for the blood.
And Lord, we thank
you
again for the healing in Karen's life and her neck.
Hallelujah.
As she shakes that off as well. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for Eddie, Lord, our prayer warrior. Thank you, Lord, for Eddie, our woman of the word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for Eddie. Lord, encourage this woman. Strengthen her faith even more than it already is. Make her, Lord, take her up to the next level in you. To the next rail as she steps up the ladder one step closer to glory tonight. As she shakes it off and makes the devil take it back. As she shakes it off and makes the devil take it back. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We believe the report of the Lord. We believe the report of the Lord. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. This is our night of miracles tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A praise and a two-head. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Stronghold of bondage of the feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. Well, it's the blood of the church of redeemed.
Father, I thank you for knowing this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. She shakes it off. Makes the devil take it. Oh, dynamite comes in small packages, devil. Get out of the way. This is our praise and worship leader. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shake. Shake it off. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's have a closing word of prayer if we can. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to go out of this place and start pouring that oil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give someone a big hug before you go.